A reading from the book of Matthew. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, that you are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous answered him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it for me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'That you are accursed. Depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer, 'Lord, when was it when we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The word of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'd like to begin by apologizing to Jeff for having to read that in public. That was really long and not the most pleasant thing to hear a couple days after Thanksgiving. But here we are. So let me begin by saying, when I was in seminary a couple years ago, I interned at a church, and after a good number of months, they finally gave me an opportunity to preach. And just to be sure that they weren't opening themselves up to some sort of terrible mistake of having a relative stranger preach in their pulpit, they would check in with me a number of times throughout the weeks leading up to it with my sort of sermon prep. And every time that they would do so, they would say, "Now remember, you're preaching on Christ the King Sunday, which just so happens to be today." And to be honest with you, at that point, I had no idea what Christ the King Sunday was. And to be really honest with you, I still don't really have any idea what Christ the King Sunday is. I'm wondering if any of you do. I know it sort of happens around Thanksgiving. It's the Sunday right before Advent. And I think it might actually end up being a pretty appropriate thing for us to have Christ the King Sunday around this time of year. And I say that because around this time of year, you might have noticed the past few weeks, we've had some really tough readings from the Gospel of Matthew about the final judgment, about the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. They've been tough to swallow. And I say that that might be appropriate because we're in the holiday season, and the holidays can be really difficult for a lot of us for a lot of different reasons. Some of us wish that we had families to be with, and some of us wish that our families would just leave us alone or go away, that they would give us some space and some room to breathe. During the holidays, we're reminded of what we've lost or who we've lost. We're reminded of what never was or who never was. Our loneliness and the divisions amongst us seem to be intensified around this time of year. And so Perhaps you've come to church tonight to hear some word of comfort and peace, and this is what you hear, this gospel reading. It's difficult. Jesus gives us his final parable before his passion and crucifixion, the parable of the final judgment, when he'll come to judge the living and the dead, when Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats. Those who've done well will be separated out to his right hand, and those who haven't will be placed on his left. Find yourself on the wrong side of this divide, according to Jesus, and you'll go away into eternal punishment, while the righteous are off to eternal life. I think for obvious reasons, this is a difficult passage. It really scares me. It begs the question, is it really such a good thing that on Christ the King Sunday, that this guy who's saying these things, that this is the guy who's in charge, that this is our King? Are we supposed to hold some image in our mind of a terrifying God raining thunder down upon us at the final judgment? It's a serious question. I think it's a good question. But I don't think that our King is taking off his velvet gloves of grace just this once and putting on some brass knuckles of fiery judgment. I think that even in this difficult passage, we're being given some word, some good news. And I think it's that we're judged by Christ's own criteria. That it's the Lord whose property is always to have mercy who stands before us. And that it's his way, not the way by which we judge ourselves or the world judges us. It's Jesus' way that judges us. And Jesus' way is one that's based on unconditional, unmerited love. Love for the least of these. Because you'll notice in this parable reading that the sheep actually don't even know that they're sheep. And the goats don't even know that they're goats. They don't know what they've done or what they haven't done to receive God's favor or not receive God's favor. Like a blind farmer casting about seed, the grace of God seems to fall down upon us, the unknowing, the confused, the blind, the undeserving. You know, this is true, that we are all in need of some sort of a shepherd. Because to be a sheep means to be out of control, and yet someone who's cared for, not the master of our own destiny, the king of our own success, our own happiness, but someone who's desperately in need of help, and someone who's desperately in need of love, like each and every one of us. But what about the goats? What about all those goats in this parable and their sentence of eternal punishment? What if we, for one moment, we didn't try to explain away the difficulty of this passage, the uncomfortable nature of this passage, which you might say, I sort of just did? What if we looked at it straight in the face and we listened and we braced for impact in some sort of discomfort? I think that we're so exhausted by division in our families, in our nation, and even somewhere deep inside of us, this divided heart, that we've developed an allergy to it. It just isn't right to separate. And so the main thing that we're upset about when we hear this gospel reading is that in Jesus' parable, he says that some of us will be glorified over there, and then some of us will be eternally damned over there. But this is what Jesus says. Those who do the right thing will be the sheep, and those who don't will be out of luck. This is conditionality at its peak, at its highest form. We get what we deserve. It's uncomfortable. But on some basic level, it's true. There is a difference between right and wrong, between helping the least of these and not helping the least of these. And I think it's right here, right in that discomfort, that uncomfortable acknowledgement of this truth, that the gospel begins to have its power. Because God is a just God. He doesn't turn a blind eye to our sin. In fact, he knows of our sin better than we ever could ourselves. He knows the difference between right and wrong and what it looks like to pass judgment on us, to see us in all of our brokenness, in all of our neediness, in our mess. And when God sees this, when God looks out at the entire landscape of his creation, what he in fact sees is no division at all. No separation. No divide between sheep and goats, because we're all goats. Each and every one of us. We're all guilty. We're all guilty of imperfection. We're all guilty of placing our own interest above the least of these around us, of anger and being judgmental. We're all guilty, firmly planted on Jesus' left side with all the rest of the goats. That's the final judgment. But that isn't the final line of our story and our relationship with God. I've never been to Rome. I've never been to Italy. And I hear that one of the most, among all the wonderful things to do in a place like Rome, one of the must-see places are the Roman catacombs, which are these underground burial places under the city. And they're so, it's a must-see because there you'll see all these fabulous pieces of art that have inspired the Christian imagination for centuries and centuries. So much beautiful art, mostly on the sort of the edifices of these burial sites. You'll see things like this incredible fresco of a good shepherd found in the catacombs of San Callisto, with its incredible detail of a brave shepherd carrying a beautiful, frightened, white sheep to safety. It's the classic image, the good sheep, or the good shepherd rather, rescuing the good sheep. But if you travel a little further down the line in this catacomb, you'll stumble upon an image that's a little less familiar. What you'll see is an image that's placed on an otherwise unmarked grave. And it's an image of Jesus standing there, carrying on his back a gray, scraggly goat. One of the reasons that the holiday season is so difficult for so many of us is because there's this sort of impetus placed on being happy, on enjoying all of our blessings, on being thankful because we're supposed to be thankful. But if life feels just absolutely rotten to you, then this collective expectation feels like a salty thumb in your eye. And so this holiday season, I pray that we might know that our joy and our thanksgivings don't come from being some dazzling white sheep, or from our successes, or from our unblemished Christmas cards. I pray that we might know that our mistakes and our pain and our losses are known by our good shepherd, by our true king. And in our places of sin and sadness, Jesus comes, offering to each and every one of us the eternal and transforming gift of the forgiveness of sins. And for a goat like me and a goat like you, that's really something to be thankful for. Amen.